All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, and if you would, go to the book of Luke with me, the book of Luke, and just going to be preaching a little bit different message this morning from our normal 1 Peter series. And so Luke chapter 4, you know, I'm very thankful that, that we have the privilege to worship freely. I'm thankful for what God has done in our country for 250 years. And I hope that we never, ever take for granted how God has blessed us as a nation, as a people, and the freedoms that we enjoy. In Luke chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 16. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he," referring to Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you again, Lord, just for the privilege and the opportunity we have to worship you today. Lord, thank you for Lord, just how you have used our country. Lord, I know this country has not always looked to you. Father, we're thankful for the remnant that is still here that is looking to you. We're thankful for churches today that are meeting, worshiping you, Lord, in truth. And Father, I pray that you would just continue to guide our country. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to help Christians to take a stand for truth and what is right. Lord, there's no doubt the direction our country is going. It could be very, very soon when we do not have these freedoms. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to take a stand. Lord, even if we do not have the freedom, we would still worship you. Lord, we would still tell others about you, that they might know the true freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you just bless this morning, use the message to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Obviously, every July, we celebrate Independence Day. And obviously, this year, a little bit more special than just the normal year, with it being our 250th anniversary. But we remember the courage of men and women who sacrificed so that we can enjoy the liberties that we have today. Men and women who have given their lives. Men and women who have been faithful in serving our country, protecting our freedoms. I like what we find here. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." That was what our nation was founded upon, that all men are created equal. The Liberty Bell still bears the inscription from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That was written or inscribed on the Liberty Bell, still there to this day, to proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Patrick Henry said this, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." You know, America has been greatly blessed with freedoms that much of the world has never known. And as wonderful as political freedom is, Jesus came to proclaim an even greater liberty, an even greater freedom. And sadly, many people live in a free country while still remaining prisoners spiritually. You can live in America and still be enslaved, but you can also be in a maximum security prison and be free. Jesus came to change that. Not just enjoying physical liberty, but understanding that there is more to that through spiritual liberty. In our passage here this morning, we find Jesus has returned to Nazareth. Nazareth was his hometown. Of course, we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but Joseph and Mary returned back to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus is raised and as a carpenter's son. And Jesus has returned here after being away for a little bit. He returns to Nazareth, and he enters into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And I think it's very true here. It says, as his custom was. This was something that Jesus did. Every week, Jesus would be in the synagogue. Jesus would be there on the Sabbath day. Wherever he would be at, whether it be Nazareth or some other place, his custom was to be in the synagogue. And I understand the synagogue can be a little bit different what we think of church today, but can I encourage you, make it a custom to be in the house of God. Just make it a custom. Just make it a duty. Hey, I'm going to be in the house of God. If it's Sunday, if it's Wednesday, if the church is open, I'm going to be there. His custom was to be in the synagogue. And as he enters the synagogue on the Sabbath, he was given the opportunity to read a portion of scripture. And the Bible says that he opened and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. In fact, you can actually go, we're not going to turn there this morning, but you can turn to Isaiah chapter 61, and he reads a prophecy that is written nearly 700 years prior to when Jesus is here on the earth. He's reading a prophecy from Isaiah. And the prophecy says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath set me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When you go back and read in Isaiah, you'll see this is a prophecy about the coming Messiah. This is a prophecy about the coming deliverer. So what a passage for Jesus to read here on this Sabbath day. And then it says in verse 20, he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister, sat down, and all the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And I want you to listen to what Jesus says. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This passage is dealing about the Messiah. This passage dealing about the one who is going to come that Isaiah prophesied about. And Jesus makes an astonishing announcement. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, what Jesus is saying is the one that Isaiah spoke about is standing before you. The one that Isaiah prophesied about 700 years ago is right here. I am this one. And again, look at what this one is going to do. To preach the gospel to the poor, not just for the rich. The gospel is for everyone. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And again, as we understand what Israel was looking for a king that would come and bring physical liberty, physical freedom. But Jesus is saying, and he's saying here this morning in our passage as he's standing there, he's saying, I am the one that this prophecy is about. But more so than the physical freedom, more so than physical liberty, what Jesus is showing and what Jesus is bringing is spiritual liberty, spiritual freedom that can only be found through him. There's no other way. And that's why Jesus says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He is the one that this passage is speaking about. Jesus's ministry now would be about bringing liberty, about bringing deliverance, not just physical, but the spiritual. And I want us to compare that a little bit this morning to the liberty that we have as a country. And again, I'm very thankful. I'm very proud to be an American. I'm very thankful that God allowed me to be an American citizen. Thankful for the country that we have and the freedoms that we enjoy. But can I say, sometimes we can get so caught up in the physical liberty that we forget and we make very light of the spiritual liberty that we have. And I understand not everybody in America is a Christian. I get that. I understand that. But I think sometimes even as Christian Americans, we can talk more about liberty in Christ or liberty as a country than we do as in liberty in Christ. We can talk about the freedoms that we have, and we can talk about all the things that our country is about, but yet how much do we speak about Christ and what he has done for us? And so I want us to look at a couple of things this morning in an aspect to liberty, as we'll think here this morning. First of all, number one, we understand that liberty comes at a great cost. Liberty comes at a great cost. One thing every American should remember, and we should never forget, is the freedom has never been free. Freedom is not free. Every liberty that we enjoy today was purchased by someone else's sacrifice. They had to be willing to give of themselves. And I understand not every military man and woman has had to give the ultimate sacrifice, but they have had to sacrifice. They have had to give time away from their families, give time away from their children, give time away from their country, give time away from their friends. They have been willing to sacrifice so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have today. Men have left their homes. Families have buried fathers and sons and daughters and mothers. Blood was shed on battlefields from Lexington and Concord to Yorktown, from Gettysburg to Normandy. From Korea to Afghanistan, every cemetery reminds us that liberty costs. There's a cost to it. But may I say, as costly as American freedom has been, our spiritual freedom costs infinitely more. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," but what does he say? "But with the precious blood of Christ." Can I say I'm very thankful for our servicemen and women. And every time I see someone that I can tell maybe is a veteran by maybe a hat they're wearing or a t-shirt, I try to do my very best to say, hey, thank you for your service. Thank you for serving our country. My children are able to enjoy freedoms because of your sacrifice, because of your service. Can I say there's never been a greater sacrifice that has been made than what Jesus Christ made for you and me. The ultimate sacrifice, giving his life, not just so that we can enjoy physical freedoms, but so that we can have spiritual freedom, so that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Declaration of Independence was signed with ink, but the New Covenant, the plan of salvation was signed with blood. The Constitution protects our earthly freedoms, but can I say the cross has purchased our eternal freedom. The cross of Jesus Christ is something that we should never forget. It's something that we should never forget, that Jesus Christ had to endure the cost so that we could have spiritual freedom, so that we could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the moment we take our last breath here on this earth, that we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, liberty comes at a great cost. Paul even reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, ye are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Friend, if you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand your freedom, the spiritual freedom that you have, that you enjoy, to be able to wake up every morning and know, hey, no matter what happens today, God is in control. No matter what happens today, I know that if today is my last day, I'm gonna be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. That freedom costs something. Sometimes I think we forget. We forget the cost that our freedom took. And the death of Jesus Christ. And he says, ye are bought with a price. He says, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then here's the thing, friend. Not only did it cost you, but you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to him. Because he was willing to purchase you. He was willing to shed his blood and pay the ultimate price for your sin and my sin on the cross. When we deserve death, when we deserve separation from God, Jesus Christ was willing to take our place so that we could have freedom. I wonder how often we stop and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the freedom you've given me. Thank you for being willing to pay the cost so that I could enjoy the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ, knowing where I'll be for eternity. You see, the liberty comes at a great cost. The price of American liberty was the blood of patriots, but the price of Christian liberty is the blood of the perfect Son of God, who was willing to give himself as a sacrifice. When we understand what something costs, we appreciate it more. When we understand something, there's something of a cost that is there, I think we value it a little bit more. I think if we would talk to men and women who have been willing to give themselves to serve our country and to see the things that they endured, I think we would value our freedom a little bit more. We would value the freedoms that we enjoy a little bit more because we see and we hear the cost that it took. The separation from families and friends and maybe time overseas and maybe even seeing others that have been willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. We should never forget the cost. But friend, can I tell you here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, look, be thankful for the freedoms that we have in this country, but there is a greater freedom that you can endure, that you can have. Just like we read a moment ago about a man sitting in a maximum security prison because of armed robbery and murder, contemplating suicide and thinking that life is at the end, and somehow he hears that there is mercy found in Jesus Christ and that God is willing, even as wicked as a sinner as he might think he is, that God is willing to forgive his sins, and he puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And even in a cell where he's not able to see his family anymore and he's not able to see what's going on in the outside world, and he knows that he's going to spend the rest of his life here, he says, I have freedom in Jesus Christ. Not physical freedom, spiritual freedom. That could only be found in Jesus Christ. And friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, understand this, Jesus Christ loves you enough that he was willing to go to the cross and pay for your sin, to pay for my sin. Because if we tried to pay for it ourselves, we're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. God loves us so much that he was willing to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to die and pay the price for our sins so that we could have liberty, so that you can have that freedom to know no matter what happens in this life, you'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, can I ask you this morning, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you absolutely sure that you have that spiritual liberty that Jesus Christ offers, that spiritual freedom to know that no matter what day it is, no matter where you are, at any moment, if you were to take your last breath, that you would be in the presence of Jesus Christ? Friend, if you don't know that, we'd love to take the word of God and show you what Jesus has done. He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to pay that price so that we could be saved. May I say, not only does liberty come at a great cost, but liberty must be protected. Liberty must be protected. Freedom is easily lost when we become careless. Our founding fathers understood this. In fact, John Adams wrote this. He said, liberty, once lost, is lost forever. He understood once we lose that liberty, we can never get it back. Political liberty is preserved through vigilance, through moral character. The citizens who refuse to surrender what others have sacrificed to obtain, we're not going to let that go. We're trying to protect the liberty that we have. That's why you see many people today that are still trying to protect the liberties, even though the world and secularism is trying to erode many of these liberties. There are still those that are trying to stand up and protect the liberties that we have, so that we can freely worship the way we choose to worship, so that we can be free as a country to live as we think we should. But may I say, our spiritual liberty also must be guarded. It must be protected. No, you cannot lose your spiritual liberty, but Paul does warn us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. False religion that are constantly trying to bring believers back into bondage. The gospel message is trying to be diluted. People are trying to say, well, there's just any way you can get to heaven. It doesn't matter what it is. You can just get there any way you want. No, Jesus said there's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And friend, may I say, that is something that must be protected. Just as the world and secularism is trying to erode the freedom of our country, can I say there are people trying to erode the fact that freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. They're trying to change that fact. They're trying to say, no, if you're just a religious person, then you're going to be all right. If you're a good person, if you're a moral person, you're going to be okay. If you'll join our church, you're going to be okay. No, there is freedom found only in Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way that we can have that spiritual freedom. There's no other way. You say, well, that's, he seems to be kind of narrow-minded about that. I'm not narrow-minded, I'm just telling you what God said. God said there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. He didn't say that go to church. He didn't say be a good person. He didn't say do some religious ritual. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All throughout scripture, all scripture is pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one. That's why Jesus says here in this passage, hey, this is what the prophet Isaiah prophesied. He prophesied that there would come one who's going to bring deliverance, one who's going to bring liberty. Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. He said, I am here. I've come to bring deliverance. I've come to bring liberty. 700 years had passed. There were religions that were around. There were religious rituals that had taken place, but none of those things could do it. Jesus said, it's only through him. And I say this morning, Christian, we have to protect that liberty. I'm not saying we have to protect our salvation. No, once you're saved, you're a child of God. But there are so many that are trying to change this liberty. No, you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ alone. I mean, yeah, you can believe in Jesus, but also you've got to do this over here too. Wait, where are the Christians willing to stand up and say, no, that's not right. That's not right. That's not what the Bible says. We're so afraid of causing offense. We're so afraid of making somebody mad. Look, it's not about causing offense. It's not about making somebody mad. We're just trying to protect the liberty that God says is right, that salvation can only come through Jesus Christ and him alone. Are we willing to protect that liberty? There have been countless through the ages who have given their lives to protect that liberty. Who have given their lives, who have been martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they would not sacrifice that liberty. They boldly were willing to proclaim Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Would we be willing to do that? We don't really face persecution and threat in our society today because of the country that we live in. Because of those who are willing to protect the freedoms that we have. But I can tell you this, all around the world today, there are those who are in prison. There are those who have died. There are those who are giving their lives to protect the freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think because we enjoy this freedom so much, we don't really recognize the cost of protecting this freedom. We come Sunday and Wednesday, week after week, month after month, not a big deal. Isn't it interesting that there are certain missionaries that our church supports that we cannot publicize? Why can't we publicize? Why can't we put their names online? Why can't we put what country they're in? Because they would be arrested. They would be kicked out of the country. They would be imprisoned, or some could even be put to death. Why? Because they're living in the country? No. Because they're preaching freedom in Jesus Christ alone. See, we don't really grasp the cost of protecting that freedom. Our forefathers did. They understood. That's why they were willing to leave their own countries and come to the new world to try to be able to worship freely. Freedom of religion. Why? Because they had experienced what it was like not to have that freedom. And I say, I think many times we just kind of take it for granted, and we shouldn't. We have to understand that liberty must be protected. And can I say, thirdly, not only is liberty cost, and not only is must liberty be protected, but liberty is never meant to produce selfishness. I think one misunderstanding of freedom is thinking if I have liberty, then that means I can do whatever I want. That's not liberty, right? That's not freedom, that's license, right? We are free as Americans. I'm free. No, I was free to come and worship this morning. I didn't have to hide from anybody. You know, I had freedom to come. But can I say I don't have freedom to do whatever I want to do? Okay, let me step back there. I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do, but I also have to understand there are consequences to that. I have freedom. I can go to a bank and I could rob a bank. I have the freedom to do that. Probably not going to be a good idea, though. You know what I mean? Probably not going to be good. I have the freedom to drive a car, you know, 150 miles an hour down the road. I can do that. It's probably not the greatest idea, though. Probably going to either cause a wreck or I'm going to get pulled over, get a ticket, you know. You see, even though I have freedom, it doesn't give me the right just to go out and live however I want. There are limits to that. There is liberty. I have freedom, but there are laws that I still have to obey. And sometimes we think that because we have liberty, this is liberty just to live for self. I have liberty so I can just do whatever I want. No. That's not what liberty is all about. America's founders never intended liberty to become selfish independence. Again, John Adams famously observed, he says this, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Think about this. This is John Adams. This is what he said. "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Isn't it amazing how our country is trying to be robbed of morality and religion? You rob our country of morality and religion, you can just throw the Constitution out the window. And this is what he said. "It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." If there's no morality, if there's no religion, he said, this doesn't work. And I understand people say, well, our country wasn't founded on the Bible. It wasn't founded on biblical principles. Kind of sounds like it. When you go back and read many of the founding fathers and you read how, I love this, George Washington on July 4th, 1775, so 251 years ago, a year before our independence, George Washington, as he was made kind of the commander of the armies there, one of the first proclamations that George Washington made was he said, look, as a military, we're not gonna get drunk, we're not gonna use foul language, we're not gonna be cursing, and if you're not on active duty, you know what he said? You're gonna be at church every Sunday. That was George Washington. He said, no foul language, no drunkenness, and if you're not actively out fighting or whatever, you're gonna be at church on Sunday. That was a proclamation to our military. Anybody ever heard of that before? That was on July 4th, 1775. But what is happening is these freedoms are being eroded. Little by little, and we're gonna get to that in just a second. I'm about to jump ahead of myself and I can't do that, right? But can I say, just as our freedom was never meant to produce selfishness, so the same is true spiritually. Again, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So again, notice the progression that Paul says. He says, first of all, we've been set free, we have liberty. But then he says that liberty is not to serve ourselves, it is to serve others. You've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. It's not supposed to be about you. This freedom that we have in Jesus Christ is not just so that you can go out and live however you want to and think, well, hey, I have freedom in Christ. I can live however I want. It doesn't really matter if I sin or not. I'm going to go to heaven. That's selfish liberty. That's not what liberty is. You're thinking only about self. He says, we're not to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. He says, but by love, serve one another. We are free, not to serve ourselves, to serve others. The Christian should not ask, what can I get away with? The Christian ought to be asking, in my life, how can I glorify Jesus Christ? It's not what can I get away with. Hey, I have liberty. Let me push that liberty to the boundaries. Let me see what I can get away with. No, 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 no. That's not what it should be. It should be, Lord, what can I do to serve you? You have given me this liberty. You paid the price for this liberty. You have given me eternal life. Lord, now what can I do for you? How can I serve you with this liberty? How can I serve others with this liberty? And yet, how often do we not even talk about this liberty? We won't tell anybody else about this liberty. Oh, we're glad we're saved. I guarantee you, if I asked this morning, how many of you are glad you're saved? If you're saved this morning, I guarantee you every hand would be raised. No doubt in my mind. I'm glad I'm saved. When's the last time you told somebody else about that liberty that you have? Well, you know, at work, they don't allow us to, or, you know, my neighbor, he just doesn't really like it, or this or that, and we start making all kinds of excuses. We make all kinds of excuses. Wait a minute. We've been set free. And this liberty is to be used not for self, but for the glory of God. Yes, can I tell you something? Sometimes when we use that liberty and we try to, it might cost. Somebody might get mad. Somebody may cuss us out. You give somebody a tract, they may tear it up and throw it back in your face. But that's not a reason not to use the liberty that we have. Because it could be that very person that needs to hear the gospel. Could be that very person who needs that track. Could be that very neighbor, that very coworker who's been searching, whose life is a disappointment. Maybe they're having family problems. Maybe they're having financial problems. And they're just thinking that there's really no point to life. And then you can tell them about the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? If it can make a difference to a man in life in prison, I think it can make a difference to a coworker and a neighbor. But are we willing to talk about this liberty? Or are we just keeping it for ourselves? Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. Look, I love American patriotism. I love it, right? And I know there's a lot of things about Christian nationalism and things like this. I'm not even sure I understand what that even means. But if you're saying, are you an American? Yes, I'm American. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. If you call that Christian nationalism, then I'm a Christian nationalist. Because I'm an American. I love my country, and I'm a Christian, and I love Jesus Christ. I think there's a lot more to it than what people are trying to make out of it, though. But I love our country, and I love the patriotism. I mean, you ask people that have come up, I don't know how many of you are following the World Cup. I like football, soccer, and so the World Cup is really big. It's actually the World Cup. The World Cup. I know we have the World Series, and it's one country, maybe two. It's not the world. The World Cup is literally the world, right? I mean, all these countries around the world, right? And people are coming to America and Canada and Mexico, but particularly to America. And you know what they're saying? It's amazing. It's amazing the freedoms that you have. It's amazing the country that you live in. I mean, we've been told all these negative things about America. We've been told all these things, but man, the people here are friendly and they're kind, and the places that we're staying and the food and everything, they're like, it's amazing. You know why it's so amazing to them? Because they don't get to experience that. And I love seeing people dressed up in red, white, and blue, and I love the flags. And, I told my wife the other day when we were driving through town, I said, I don't know of any other business or any of the church that has as many flags as we do. We got them out there, you know. I'm not ashamed of that. I love America. I'm proud to be an American. But I'm more proud to be a Christian. And yet, so many times, we'll put out flags, we'll dress red, white, and blue, and we'll be very patriotic and blow things up on the 4th of July, praise the Lord, you know, and do all this kind of things. But what about a greater liberty that we have in Jesus Christ? Where is that seen? Where is the patriotism that is there to be able to say, hey, I'm proud to be an American, there's no doubt about it, but I'm even more proud to be a Christian. I am more proud to be called a child of God. And yes, I'll dress up in red, white, and blue, but more importantly, can I tell you something? Let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what he did for me and the liberty that he gave me through him, that I can know for sure that no matter what, when I die, I'll be with heaven. And now I get the opportunity to live for him because he gave himself for me. Where is that patriotism? Where is that loyalty to Christ? Look, can I say this morning, I love my country and I'm thankful for it. But if we have more loyalty than our country than we do to Jesus Christ, we have our priorities wrong. Amen. If our loyalty to our country is greater than our loyalty to Christ, our priorities as a Christian are wrong. Christ should be first in all that we do. Christ should be first. And this is what we have to understand. It is not, liberty is not meant to produce selfishness. Real freedom isn't doing whatever you want. It is finally becoming free to do what is right. We now have the freedom to do what is right, to be obedient to God. Before Christ, we couldn't help but sin. But now, after Christ, we are free to obey Him. Now, after Christ, we are free to live for the glory of God. We couldn't do that before we met Christ. Now we can. Do we? Or are we just using that liberty for self? May I say, fourthly, liberty gives us a responsibility. There is a responsibility with liberty, and that is to share it. And I've talked a little bit about this already, but one of the greatest characteristics of free people is that they want others to enjoy freedom as well. Again, America has often intervened throughout history to help the oppressed people experience liberty. Why? Why have we done that? Because free people hate tyranny. We don't like tyranny. And may I say, Christians should feel the same way spiritually. Every day we encounter people imprisoned by sin. Some are chained by addiction. Some are chained by fear. Others by guilt. Some by religion. Others just through hopelessness. And we can enjoy the liberty that Christ has given us while ignoring those still in prison. How can we do that? We can say, hey, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful I'm on my way to heaven, but ignore those who are still bound in chains of sin? See, that goes back to that selfishness again. This is why Jesus said to preach, to preach deliverance, to set the captives free, the recovering of the sight to blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Jesus came to offer that hope that could only be found through Him. Yes, you can be live in a free country and still be bound in chains of sin, but Jesus came to bring that deliverance and that freedom. That's why He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because God knows all over the world people are still bound in chains of sin. They're still bound. They don't have that freedom. The gospel is God's declaration of emancipation. Every time someone trusts Christ, another captive gets to walk free. They get to experience that freedom that only Jesus Christ can bring. Can you imagine a man escaping prison and then refusing to tell other prisoners that the door is wide open? The door's open. You can come out. The door's wide open. And not saying a word? We would think pretty bad about that person, wouldn't we? And yet, we have escaped because of what Jesus Christ has done, and yet we refuse to share it with others. I believe we would call that selfish. Yet Christians sometimes enjoy the freedom that Christ gives while remaining silent about the only message that can free others. If we truly love liberty, we will proclaim liberty. This is what Isaiah prophesied. He said, hey, there's someone coming that's going to do something great. It's not just about the physical freedom. It's not just about the physical deliverance. He's going to bring spiritual deliverance. And Jesus, as He reads that passage there in Isaiah, He says, today is this prophecy fulfilled. Today is what Isaiah said. This is fulfilled. This is why I have come. And here's what happened. Israel rejected Him. Why? Because they were more concerned about physical freedom than they were spiritual freedom. There's a lot of people in our country today that are more concerned about physical freedom than they are spiritual freedom. They rejected Him. No, no. We're looking for the physical freedom. Can I tell you something this morning? Physical freedom really is empty if there's no spiritual freedom. It's empty. Because what happens when you die with physical freedom without spiritual freedom? You spend eternity in the lake of fire. You can live in a country where there's no physical freedom. You can live in a country where there's a threat to your life if you talk about Jesus Christ. There, you can live in a country where you're not even allowed to publicly hold a Bible. You've got to hide it secretly. You've got to try to hide it so nobody knows you've got one. You're not free to give out a gospel tract and invite to church. You're not free to worship like this. You can ask Brother Brian now. Brother Brian just got back from another country. I'm not going to say the name. But he got back from another country and he said this. The church was meeting on the 21st floor. That's like, it's a cool church. 21st floor. And he said, the problem is when the church meets together, we have to make sure that we're quiet. Because if we're quiet, or if we're too loud, we might get reported and the police will come and they'll break up the church. You know, I'm not sure, Brother Shane, but when we were singing, I don't know that people were singing quietly. When we were just singing a few minutes ago, I don't know that anybody was singing quiet. Man, we were just, let it go, let it rip. Why? Because we don't have the fear of someone coming in and arresting us because we're meeting in church. And yet there are people today, Christian believers today, that are having to meet quietly, cannot openly carry a Bible. You can't put a sign out by the road that says First Baptist Church. Why? Because of fear of persecution and imprisonment and even death. And we enjoy this freedom and yet we won't share it with others. We enjoy this freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We enjoy this physical freedom that we have to be able to go out and publicly talk about Jesus Christ and give out the gospel and publicly hold a Bible unashamed. In fact, we'll broadcast it on live stream and everything. We can do all that. We won't talk to somebody about Jesus. I say, I think we've got our priorities wrong. We're more concerned about the physical freedom that we have than the spiritual freedom to preach deliverance to the captives. That's what Jesus came to do, to preach deliverance, to preach liberty. Where is it? Jesus says, it's in me. It's in him, only in Jesus Christ. But here's the thing we have to be careful of. Liberty is lost, not all at once, but one step at a time. We lose liberty one step at a time. Throughout history, nations have not usually lost liberty all at once. They lose it little by little. Freedoms disappear when truth is rejected, when virtue disappears, when people no longer value what previous generations sacrificed to obtain. You try to rewrite history. You can try to rewrite history, but it doesn't change history. When you have men and women that are saying, hey, we need a country that is founded on the word of God. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal with certain unalienable rights. They're endowed by their creator. We understand that, man, yes, the world and our country may move away from these things. They may start taking God out of the schools as they've already done. They might start trying to take God out of other things. And what are they doing? They're trying to erode that liberty just one step at a time. But again, the same is true spiritually. Believers begin to drift into bondage one compromise at a time. They begin to drift into that spiritual, we could call it decay. Oh, we know we can never lose our salvation, but we begin to drift spiritually. We don't think that the word of God is very important anymore. That's why we don't take time reading it. We don't take time studying it. It's not really important anymore. We don't take time in prayer and spending time with God. That's not really important anymore. We don't need to go to church anymore. We can just go whenever. You know, when it's convenient, that's when we'll go. We start tolerating sin. We start loving worldly affections, just gradually moving one step away from Christ. It's not a full-blown, hey, I'm just running away. No, it's just one step at a time. You know, I don't think church is important anymore. You know, I don't think that I really need to spend that much time in the Bible. You know, I've got so many other things to do. I don't think I really need to spend time in prayer. You know, that sin that the Bible talks about, you know, I mean, in our culture today, it's not as bad as what it seems like. And you know, maybe it's not as bad as what it all is. And so we're not gonna talk about sin anymore. And you know, man, the things of the world, they just seem to be so much funner than the things of God. And what happens? Just one step at a time, we start drifting away. One step at a time, one step at a time. It's not just all of a sudden, boom, one day we just woke up and we're away from God. No, no. It's just gradually one step at a time until we wake up and realize how far away we've gotten from God, how far away we've gotten from Jesus Christ. You see, we as Christians can do the very same thing, just gradually moving one step at a time. That's why it's so important that every day we get in the Word of God, every day we pray, every day we walk with the Lord, every day we walk in the Spirit. Why? So that we can stay as close to God as possible. Peter, writing to free believers, still warned them in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 16. He says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Again, think about this. Think about this paradox. The freest people on earth gladly become the servants of God. Think about what he says. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I'm free in Jesus Christ. He has washed away all my sins. He has given me a home in heaven. Now, Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, how can I serve you? What would you want me to do? In this short lifespan that I have here on this earth, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have for me? Isn't it amazing? Those that experience spiritual liberty, we have freedom in Christ, are afraid to serve God. We're afraid. Why would we be afraid of the one who's given us liberty? Well, I don't know what he's going to have me to do. I don't know. He might tell me to do this or he might tell me to do that. Don't you think if he's willing to give you liberty, that he's also willing to help you do whatever it is that he wants you to do? Why have we become so afraid to serve God? Well, I have liberty. I'm going to use it the way I want to use it. No, it's not what he says. We're not using it for self, but as the servants of God. Have we drifted away? Have we drifted away from the Lord? Maybe it's not been this huge, you know, just immediate thing, but we can kind of look back and see it's been a little bit gradual. I wonder when's the last time you really got into the Word of God and studied it. Wonder when's the last time you spent some time in prayer with God, really just begging God for some things, not what your wants are. Lord, I need this and I need this and give me this and give me that. No. That true relationship with God. When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Told them about Jesus Christ. That's funny. We have a neighbor kid that will come over to our house every once in a while. And my wife told me the other day, she said, the neighbor kid came over and Malachi was out. Malachi's 10. And she said, I started listening to what the conversation was about. She said, Malachi, our 10-year-old, he's out there trying to tell him about Jesus. Now, he could probably use some help with it, right? You know, he was trying to tell him, you know, hey, you know, you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell with your sin and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, like, well, maybe we need to help him, you know, figure out how to explain the gospel, some things. But a 10-year-old recognizes that there's somebody else that needs the gospel, needs that liberty in Christ. Have we become so accustomed to our liberty? We become so accustomed to our freedom in Christ and in this country that we really just don't, we just kind of take it for granted now. Imagine two men standing side by side on Independence Day. One is an American citizen living under the freedom guaranteed by the Constitution, but remains a slave to sin. The other lives in a nation hostile to Christianity and has no political freedom. Yet he knows Jesus Christ. Which man is truly free? Which man is truly free? Jesus answered that question long ago. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Political liberty is a wonderful gift from God. It allows us to worship openly, to preach freely, to raise our families according to God's word and proclaim the gospel without many of the restrictions that believers face around the world. But can I say this? If America lost every constitutional freedom tomorrow, no government could imprison the soul that Christ has already set free. They're already free in Christ. And that is why Christians can sing in prison cells and preach under persecution and rejoice in suffering, because the greatest liberty was never given by a government, and it can never be taken away by one. The greatest liberty that a person can experience is found in Jesus Christ. American liberty gives us the freedom to worship, yes, but Christian liberty gives us the desire to worship. American liberty protects our rights, but Christian liberty transforms our hearts. American liberty was purchased by the sacrifice of patriots, but Christian liberty was purchased by the sacrifice of the Savior. American liberty should make us grateful citizens, but Christian liberty should make us faithful servants. American liberty is one generation from being lost if it's not guarded. Christian liberty is eternally secure, but it must be faithfully lived and joyfully shared with others who do not know it. As Americans, we should treasure the freedom that God has graciously allowed us to enjoy. Many believers around the world worship under persecution, while we have the freedom to gather openly. And we ought to thank God for those who sacrifice to preserve these freedoms and pray that our nation will continue to value them. Yet the greatest freedom is not found beneath the stars and stripes. It is found beneath the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, are we willing to share that freedom with others who are still bound in sin? With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, maybe you're here this morning. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've not experienced that freedom, that liberty that Jesus Christ offers. You've thought maybe salvation has come through religion or religious rituals or something to that effect. Friend, can I tell you this morning, it can only come through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save you. Maybe there's someone here this morning say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I have that liberty in Christ. I'm not sure about that, but I would like to know more about it. Would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down? Nobody's looking about. Nobody's going to come to you. I just want to pray for you this morning. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I have that liberty in Christ to know that no matter when I die, that I'll be with the Lord. I'm not sure about that. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. And Christian, we are privileged to live in the greatest nation on this earth. We are privileged with the liberties that we have in this country. But more than that, we are privileged in the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ was willing to give himself as a sacrifice for our sin. But what are we doing with that liberty? We can get upset with the politicians and everybody because they're not protecting our liberties in America. Wait, are we protecting our liberty in Christ? Are we sharing it with others? Are we telling others that they can know Jesus Christ and that there is only one way, and that is through Christ, that they can be saved? Or are we remaining silent? We're thankful that we live in a country where we can worship. We're not telling anybody else about Jesus. We're thankful that we can carry a Bible, but we'll not open it and share it with someone else. Have we got our priorities wrong as Christians? Friend, I'm not saying it's wrong to love our country. I love my country. I love America. But more than America should be Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, and what he can do for those who do not have that freedom in Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, today to truly be thankful for the country that we live in. Not just to casually say it, but Lord, to truly think and say, Lord, I am thankful that I'm an American. I'm thankful that I live in this country because of the freedoms that we get to enjoy. Not just being able to go out and find a job wherever we want, but Lord, being able to worship freely without fear of persecution, be able to have a Bible in our hands openly, to be able to talk with somebody about Jesus Christ without fear of imprisonment or death. Lord, you have blessed our nation Lord, I pray even more than that, more than the freedoms that we enjoy as a country, we would be thankful for the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, that liberty that you bought for us, that you paid for on the cross, Lord, is not just for us, but it's for every single person. And Lord, may we recognize what you came for, not just so that we could be saved, but Lord, so that the gospel could be taken to all the world and so that every person could know. So that even a man sitting in a maximum security cell could listen to the gospel being given over a radio and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and find freedom in jail. Lord, there are so many that still need to know. Lord, help us never take the freedom that we have in Christ for granted. Lord, help us to do more to share that freedom with others. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this morning. The piano is going to begin playing softly. Are we using that liberty in Christ to share with others? We can be thankful for the liberty that we have, and we can say, Lord, thank you for this country, foundation that it was built upon. Yeah, we've got problems, there's no doubt about it, but there's no other country like it. Lord, even more so than this country, thank you for your Son. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin, to give me liberty, freedom in Christ. Lord, help me not keep it to myself. Help me not live for self, but Lord, help me to live for you. Help me to share it with others. They too can know Christ. Jesus announced his mission to preach deliverance to the captives. As his followers, we have the privilege of living in a nation that values liberty, while proclaiming to the world the only liberty that can free the soul forever. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. Are we sharing it? Are we giving it out so that others can know Christ? Or have we just kind of used our liberty for self?